And let us turn for our scripture reading to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, from which comes the hymn, Almighty Fortress is Our God. So, Psalm 46, we'll be looking at the whole of the psalm as our text this morning. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth, and breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. As we turn to God's word this morning, we live in a world in which nation rises against nation and people against people. And how do we react to that sort of thing? Oftentimes when we see the things going on in our own nation, we have our questions and wonder, what's going on? Has this world gone off the tracks? And of course it hasn't. God directs all things for the good of His people and for His glory. And so whether it be spiritual enemies or earthly enemies, we need to be reminded that we are more than conquerors of them in Jesus Christ. So enemies of God's kingdom in this world and their threatenings are not something that ought to make us fear. We need to realize that. We are to fear God. Again and again the scripture says that we are to have a righteous fear of God. And what can man do to us? Man can kill us. We are to fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And so, Luther, as we know, who wrote Almighty Fortress is Our God, had a sidekick, Melanchthon. And oftentimes when there was trouble, Melanchthon would get scared, and Luther would say to him, "Shall we sing the 46th Psalm?" We as Christians need not fear. We are to have confidence that God will work all things out. He will provide for His people. And the enemies of God's church will not rule over them, will not have victory. That's what we read as well in the whole book of Revelation, by the way, is that God provides the victory for His people over some of the most heinous persecution in the history of the world. And so as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is the Lord of hosts is with His people and will be exalted. That's the theme that we want to see for this passage. The Lord of hosts is with His people and will be exalted. In verses 1 through 5, we see that God is our refuge in trouble. In verses 6 through 9, we are to praise God for His power over the nations. And in verses 10 and 11, then, we see that God who has glorified His name will continue to glorify Him. And that's what's important. So often we think our own situations are what's important. God's glory is what is important. We certainly enjoy it when we have good times, but we need to understand that even hard times are there to glorify God in, and we are to glorify Him, and God provides that that will happen. So first of all, God is our refuge in trouble. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We will not fear, though the earth be moved. God is our very present help in trouble. We may not feel like it, but He's there. He is near. He is very present. Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. If we feel that He is far from us, the best place for us to be is upon our knees, praying that God would help us and be near us and provide for us. He is our refuge and He is our strength. That's amazing. We are to run to God in trouble. He is the provision of our strength. It's amazing. The God who created the world, who continues to uphold it by His word and by His power, is ours, is my refuge. We can always go to Him. Psalm 71, verse 3, be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for You are my rock and my fortress. We can resort to God continually, and it is a good thing for us to do that. We are to spend time in the Lord, and then when the hard times, really hard times come, we have a habit of going to the Lord in all times, and we know where we need to be. He is our rock and our fortress. As we look at God, as we consider Him, we need to understand His power over the natural world. And we need not fear. Though its waters roar, though the mountains shake with its swelling, we need not fear. Even if the earth is removed, and all that speaks of our loss of oxygen, a place to live, the loss of the necessities on this earth. Psalm 18, verse 7, the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken, because He was angry. This earth will be removed. We need not fear. God is with His people. Though the great things of this world, the great things of life are turned upside down, as we said, the mountains cast into the sea. Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Man gets excited about the things of this world. Chariots, what makes us strong. It's not armies. It's about being on God's side in all things. And it is a time of awe of God, not a time of fear. In hard times as well as in good times, all of these things are directed and guided by Almighty God. Though the waters roar and are troubled. Verse 3. Water which allows life is also very dangerous to us. To the cultures around there, waters represented the abyss. They represented a place where people who decided to go, they wouldn't come back. The Israelites with Solomon had some mastery of the sea, but this still represented a very dangerous place. And even for us today, when we have flooding or thunderstorms, water, hurricanes, roaring, troubled waters are outside of our abilities to control. Yet they're in God's hands. I did the math. I'm working on my hangar. And I've got quite a big door on that thing. I'm calculating how much I have to resist for winds up on the top of that hill. You realize that against that door is 15 tons of pressure in a high wind? Just in a wind. That's a big door. But just, God blows all the time with these winds. And that's a tiny thing in God's hands. You realize that there are, I've told you this stuff before, there's more power expended in thunderstorms upon this earth every day than all of the nuclear weapons all of the world ever produced. Who do we need to fear? You know, man gets so excited, nuclear war, we're going to end the world. Not really.
God's got it in His hands. And the mountains shake with its swelling. Psalm 93, verses 3 and 4. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, the floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. God is the one who controls the thunderstorms, the waters. The mountains shake with water. Ever been to the ocean and felt the power of breaking waves against the rocks and the earth underneath you moves? That's in God's hands. The mountains shake because of water, and that's all in God's hands. God is in control of the waters. Remember the people at the time of Jesus, specifically the disciples, when He calmed the storm. They understood what that meant. They said, "Who is this that He speaks and even the wind and the waves obey Him?" God controls the winds and the waves. We need not fear. God's dwelling is in the midst of His people as we continue. Water, instead of a danger, when we think about the New Jerusalem, is a stream that makes glad the city of God. The holy place of the tabernacle, the dwelling place of the Most High, Revelation 22, 1 and 2. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Again, God is in control of the waters, whether unruly or peacefully flowing. And remember that God's dwelling place is among His people. He lives with us. He sends His Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. God is in the midst of her. The mountains are being moved with the power of the water, but His city, His dwelling place, shall never be moved. Deuteronomy 23:14. For the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and give your enemies over to you. Therefore your camp shall be holy, that He may see no unclean thing among you and turn away from you. God will help her, we're told. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her just at the break of dawn. God's time, first of all, is perfect. Too often we think that we know better when God should help us out than He does. But usually it comes just when we're out of other options. When we are able to see that God is our only hope and our only help. God is our only strength. Not the things we have, not our abilities. These all come from God. So let's take out the middleman and put our trust in God alone. And so no matter what goes on in this world, it is in God's hands. So now we turn in verses 6 through 9. And we are to praise God for His power over the nations. At God's word, the world melts, and He is our fortress. We read, the nations rage, the kingdoms are moved. Nation rises against nation, people against people. We need not fear. The earthly processes of nations fighting, these are nothing compared to God. He uttered His voice, and the earth melted. The nations of this earth are like the dust on the balances, Isaiah says. God rules over it all. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of war. By the way, that's what the Lord of hosts is. The Lord of hosts speaks of His war, His warring ability. And I don't think we think about that very often. But we need to realize that God is a God of war. And He wins the battle. He is our refuge. Think back to the times again and again in which Israel didn't even have to go to battle. One example, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of God who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And so in battle, and again, God directed that Israel didn't even have to lift their hands. And brothers and sisters, if we're serving God, we need not fear man. God directs. And the battle's won. We need not fear man. We need not fear demon or any other created thing. He's our refuge. And as I said, God is a God of war. He rules over war. Consider, look at, he says, the works of God. He is the one who makes desolations in the world. We've looked at storms and water. These things which literally blow away all of our best designs are in God's hands. Psalm 66 verse 5, come and see the works of God. He is awesome in His doing toward the sons of men. All of these things which man can't even begin to control, we try. It doesn't work. God has them in His hand. And He is on our side through faith in Him. He rules over war. He breaks the weapons of war, even the strongest, the chariot was destroyed. He makes wars to cease throughout the world. Isaiah 2 verse 4, He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. As we anticipate, as we look forward to the day in which Christ shall return, as we look forward to the new heavens and the new earth, there's not going to be nation rising against nation. He's going to make wars cease throughout the world. God rules over these things. He created the elements from which they are made. He upholds them or allows them to be defeated. Victory or loss do not come on the battlefield. It comes from God. And it is at His will and through His direction. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. God rules over the machinations of men. And God, who has glorified His name, will continue to glorify Him. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. In battle, it's usually a good thing to keep moving. Because your enemies will figure out where you are and be able to come and attack. God says, be still. Trust in Him. Don't put your fear or your trust in man and things of this world. Put your trust in God. Watch Him. Know that He is God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We are to trust in God and in His workings. Exodus 14:13. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Be still and know that I am God. So often as human beings, we rush. We run in circles. We chase ourselves trying to get things done. We don't need to fear. God's in control. We're to be certainly at our duties, but so often as human beings, we think that we have to do it all. And God's in control of those things. He is God. He's Creator. He's upholder. He's ruler. He will be exalted in the nations, on the earth. No matter if the nations want to exalt Him, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That's not just those who want to. In the final day of judgment, even those who don't want to will bow before our Savior. He is exalted, highly exalted. And God is our refuge. The Lord of hosts is with us. Verse 11. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Again, the Lord of hosts. This psalm speaks of God as a God of war. And brothers and sisters, God wins the battle. When we fight, when we struggle on this earth, and we wonder how this is going to be, God's got it done. God has it prepared from the beginning to the end. In fact, that's the picture that we have of His decree from before the foundation of the world. Is God has it laid out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And what He does is right. And so as God fights the battle, God has it won. And He is the God of Jacob, is our refuge. He who will win the battle is to us as human beings our refuge in this world. And so, yeah, we get scared, we get worried. Every one of us does. We don't need to fear. We don't even need to worry about it. He's our refuge. And so, as we look at the passage, the Lord of hosts is with His people, and He will be exalted. God's our refuge in trouble. We are to spend our time not worrying, but praising Him. And God will glorify His name. He has glorified it throughout history, and He will continue to glorify it even to the ends of the world. Amen. Let us then rise and bow before our God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that the victory is already won. And so as we live in this world, as we do battle, and rightly so, we do battle the forces of wickedness, we thank You that You are our refuge. You are the Lord of hosts. You are the Lord of war. And as we fight that battle, we pray that we might truly be still and know that You are God. That we might truly leave all things in Your hand, trusting in You, knowing that You care for us as Your people. You do not leave us. You do not forsake us. You are a God near at hand, a very present help in trouble. And so, Lord, as we bow before Your holy throne, we pray that You would bless and be with us as Your people, that You would strengthen us for the battle, and that we might rightly know to be still and know that You are our God, that You are the Lord of Sabaoth. We pray this only knowing that that battle has been won in Jesus Christ. And so we pray as Christ taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.